When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday. So, Jeffrey, is this better weather, or was it better when it was freezing ass cold last week? Was that last week? Which is better?
This is pretty miserable.
This is miserable. I still say give me this over the cold.
I think I'm with you.
Because, like, what really makes this miserable is when you try to walk the dogs.
That's true. That's true. That's interesting.
Do I have all the towels?
I want to start the show by congratulating you, Jeffrey. Mm-hmm. We asked yesterday what time the Memphis football game would end. And you said 11:40. Now, as it went past 11:40, I was thinking to myself, is this like The Price is Right? That you got, I guess, you know, you can, that you would have been the closest if you hit 11:40, sure, or 11:39, but once it goes over, you're right out? Or is this just closest to the pin?
So the way that I viewed it was you were asking me to set the line.
Oh, I see.
And I felt like that's,
if it's within the line,
if it's within 2 minutes, I feel like that's a pretty good line.
11:42.
Right. You were asking me to set an over-under.
Yeah, that's a hell of an over-under. And the great thing about it was, is I was able to both cover the
school board proceedings
and catch the thrilling end of the football game.
Yeah, there's with plenty of time to spare.
I really worked out perfectly for me. Today on the radio show, John Martin's going to be with us. He felt like he was going through some emotions last night on Twitter watching the end of that football game. One of John's strengths is that he's emotional, and one of his weaknesses, it's like a lot of your strengths are your weaknesses are your strengths, right?
It's all point of view, Jeff.
It's all point of view. And he was reacting to the end of that football game. And we'll talk to John about that. Also, the Memphis Tigers play tonight against Virginia. Are we calling this a trap game?
I don't think you can say a road game against
Oh, because it's.
I think trap games
too stout.
You have to be at home.
A pathetic. Oh,
I really think like it's got to be like the you're not totally expecting it, but I can see it, if you want to go with the view of overlook them, sure.
But I think we discussed this earlier, the brand and being on the road.
Yes.
The trappings will be major league. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it will not. You're not in some rinky-dink gymnasium. You're not at FedEx Forum with you know, 2,100 people in the building on a Sunday afternoon or something. You know, the trappings will be big time. The opponent and reputation, recent national championship, or relatively so in reputation, is big time. It's an Ed Scott revenge game. Not revenge game, because he doesn't need revenge, but you know, you always like to take it out on the school that you once worked for. And so I don't expect a desultory performance. I don't expect to come out and
I was trying to think if there's an angle with Paul Tudor Jones, because the arena obviously is named after
Paul Tudor Jones.
I guess he named it after his dad.
Right. What's the name of the arena? It's the...
Is it John Paul Jones, maybe?
His dad was, of course, a longtime Memphian. It was forever you'd see him sitting courtside at Grizzlies games and Tigers games, I think.
Paul,
I think
it was both.
Yeah. So there you go. All right. So we'll talk to John about that. Then Chris Harrington's going to join us straight up at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, John Paul Jones is with the JPJ.
We'll talk to him about the Grizzlies back in action tomorrow against the Warriors. We did have the NBA Cup.
I didn't hear.
Yeah. NBA Cup. The Bucks have rebounded nicely.
Yes, they have.
From their rough start. We also have a new All-Star game format. And there was a dish that Chris Harrington ate this year in Memphis that has been named by a New York Times writer one of the 25 best things this writer ate in 2024.
Wow.
That's pretty high praise.
Most certainly. I mean, the New York Times writer.
What
do you think a food critic eats? How many dishes a year? Because I would imagine sampling. You're basically sampling all the time.
All over the world.
Yeah.
And to get one of the top 25, I think the number was 25. I think that was a cutoff. And then he wrote about film as
it's like
well.
An 11-2 football season.
Are you excited for the newest Lion King? Are you a Lion King fan?
So I am a Lion King fan.
Lion King sweet spot for you?
I am not the biggest enthusiast of these live-action remakes that Disney's been doing. I mean, I guess to a certain degree, like
live-action means actual human beings. Is that what they mean? What is it?
They're trying to. It's all motion capture. To your point, like no, it's just a new like, but it is designed. It's designed to look like it's set with real animals. It's not. It's computer generated, just like anything.
Right, but they look like real animals. They don't look like.
Kind
the original Lion King.
Yes. It's not animated. It's not hand-drawn animation or any like even 3D animation.
This one is Mufasa.
Yes.
The Lion King.
Yeah, I think we're going to get some anti-hero status of Scar was actually really the prince that was promised, and then
something
Mufasa
happened.
Took it from
right.
him.
Anyway, we'll talk to Chris in the second hour as well. All of these, by the way, and then Sam Hardiman's going to join us, and all of these are the last appearances of 2024 for, not for Chris, because he'll be with us the rest of this week, but for Sam, it will be just as it was for Fishman, although we've scheduled a special Fishman on Friday, on Tuesday, on Monday for next week. But I do believe it will be Sam's last appearance of 2024. We've been grateful to have Sam Hardiman with us to talk about what's going on in the city. So that's the lineup. It's John Martin, then Chris Harrington, and then Sam Hardiman, all today. There are two things I want to discuss, both of which I observed, one in person and one on TV. The one on TV was the Memphis triumph in the Scooters Coffee Frisco Bowl. Where they won 42-37, and a dramatic ending that may have framed the way you think about the whole thing. So we'll get into that in a moment. But I did think I would first talk about my experiences at the Memphis Shelby County School
Board. Sounded like quite the night. Please tell.
Meeting last night. Well, I mean, of course, this is not my area of expertise. I'm beginning to wonder what my area of expertise is, but this is not it. I am not an education expert. I am not steeped in knowledge and lore and insight when it comes to
chicken wings?
Memphis Shelby County school politics. But yes, 2 days ago, there was all of a sudden a meeting scheduled, surprise special meeting scheduled by the school board to discuss the termination of Marie Fagans, who was the superintendent who's been on the job for 8 months. And that was a stunner. That was a stunner. Holy smokes. Larry Porter got 2 years, for God's sakes. You know how Penny Hardaway has been talking about how he gets better? And this summer he was talking about it's sort of too early to judge him. And, but I think we can all agree, 8 months, that's pretty quick, right?
Certainly for a school board exam.
Eight months, you don't have any grades come out. No one's scores have come out. No one's grades have come out. Like, it's crazy. And after a year, multiple year-long search to find her to begin with, the original search committee was disbanded. They had to start again. And so all of a sudden, whoa, and we'd known there was controversy behind the scenes. We knew that there was... everything had not necessarily gone smoothly.
Well, I mean, a new executive was coming in.
New executive was coming in. What happens when a new executive comes in? What happened in, let me ask you this, what happened in Justin Fuente's second year in Memphis?
The Piano Man.
Piano Man. We had the Piano Man controversy.
Yes.
The locker room was torn asunder, and that was in year two. Sometimes you got to have a little bit of a shakedown cruise, right?
Shout out Jacob. He's a good dude.
Very good dude.
Yes.
Both those guys are good dudes.
But, by the way,
I think Justin made the right call.
So this was a stunner. And I decided, you know, I have this new life where I write some about sports, but mostly about other stuff. And so I decided I'd go just to see the scene. And in fact, Laura Testino, who's our terrific education reporter at the Daily Memphian, and it's funny, you go show up. I don't even know, you know, how do you get in? I'm waiting in line. She said, no, you don't have to wait in line. She shows me where to go. She's terrific. And I told her earlier, I'm probably not going to write anything. I'm just here to see this unfold. And what unfolded over the next 3 hours was just crazy. First of all, just the people who were there, and I commend them. There were hundreds of people in the meeting room, and then there were dozens more in an overfill room, and there were hundreds more waiting outside in the rain. Like, it was, would have been good attendance for a Tiger basketball game. Penny should get that group to come out this Saturday. And by the way, passionate as hell.
I was going to say, that
fired
like,
up from the
tip. They looked
like
they were into the game.
From the tip, they were fired up. So they originally, the chair said, we're going to have 30 minutes of public comment. Well, 57 people had signed up at that point to comment. So Michelle McKissick, board member, moved that, hey, how about we listen to all of them for a minute? So
it seems reasonable.
It seems reasonable, right? It all been out there. And a lot of them, like there was a student there, Mark Williams, who was a 14-year-old ninth grader. He had been in math class writing his remarks, he said. He had a history test that he should have been studying for, but he's writing his remarks. And in the end, he had to tear them up and just speak for a minute. Like he had 7 minutes of remarks. So anyway, 57 people get up.
This is why you should never prepare kids.
57 people. I don't think that's the lesson.
I do.
57 people stand up. 57 people give remarks. How many of them? Just imagine, you know, we're different. People are on different sides. Look at how we are. We can argue about anything. Like some people, as I said in my column, if you ask 57 people about Chick-fil-A, if it's a quality sandwich, you would not have unanimity. If you ask 57 people about Gibson's or about Gus's, you would not have unanimity. We had 57 people stand up there and talk to the school board. How many do you think supported the idea of canning the superintendent?
Based on the phrasing of the question, Jeff, I will say 57.
50. Well, I asked how many were in favor of canning her.
Oh, and canning.
You got to listen to the kids, second lesson. You got to listen to
the 57?
Study the question. How many were in favor
Zero.
Of canning? Zero is the correct answer. Not a one. There were students, there were parents, there were teachers, there were folks who worked in maintenance. It was unbelievable. One after the other, after the other, after the other, after the other, after the other. It was incredible. And it was heated. But beneath the heat, and again, I want to stipulate, most of us, including me, don't know enough to know if Marie Fagans is the right person to lead the Memphis Shelby schools into the future, right? Like, even with a coach, it would be hard to know after 8 months, right? Like, we could look at W's and L's. Here, there's no W's and L's yet. We don't even have any W's and L's. And I have heard, I mean, heck, I did a column on Linda Sklar, who led the optional program for the city school, for the city and then city county schools for decades, literally decades. Huge success story within the school district. And she did tell me she was leaving, she's retiring, and she did say that Marie Fagans never talked to her. Well, that would seem odd, wouldn't it? If someone has this massive success story within your school district, you would think you'd want to count on them for wisdom. And then you hear other things, that ways in which she is imperfect and has ruffled feathers or not followed procedures or whatever. You do hear, I am not here to swear that she is the best candidate ever or the best superintendent ever. But it's pretty amazing how the school board was able to unite the entire community against them. And I do think it says something that it's unanimous. Unanimous. And I think what's very clear is the procedure for getting rid of her has only inflamed. Like, if you're going to do this controversial thing of getting rid of someone 8 months after they begin, you would think you would want to, A, be really open and transparent about what that person has done wrong, and get the community behind you, understanding what that person has, build some sort of consensus about, hey, this is unfortunate, but it's what we got to do. It's what I think we all look at the facts here. This is what we got to do. I mean, let's be honest. When Larry Porter was canned after 2 years, which seemed premature to some, 2 years, that's short. But we looked at the record. It was there, and there weren't Memphis fans who were saying, you got to give him a chance. Got to give him more time. It's weird to get, particularly then, it was more weird to get rid of someone after 2 years, but it was pretty indisputable that that's what had to be done. Here, they have only succeeded in uniting people against the idea of getting rid of her. And by the way, there are sunshine laws about they should be discussing all this in public. They only called the meeting because they had already discussed it. Let's be honest. We're just talking common sense here, because they thought they had the 5 votes to get rid of her. You need 5 votes to get rid of her. There's 9 people on there. You need 5 votes to get rid of her. And so then they then outline the offenses, because they believe that there's a reason to fire her for cause, at least the people on the board who want to get rid of her. And so they outline the reasons, and you can read the reasons at the Daily Memphian, and in Laura's story, or Jody Callahan wrote about it as well, and I wrote about it. You can read the reasons over there. But what was really striking was then when various board members talked to the crowd about why they were trying to get rid of her, they didn't mention any of the reasons that were in the resolution to get rid of her, that were the official reasons to get rid of her. They just came up with a whole bunch of other stuff, like, well, she doesn't return my emails, or there's no advisors in special needs classes, or principals are telling me, or whatever. It wasn't the actual reasons, the official reasons. And this matters because if you fire her not for cause, she's owed $500,000. Yes. So you can be damn sure there's going to be a damn sure. She said, in fact, Fagans has said she's already hired counsel. Damn sure there's going to be a lawsuit over the $500,000. Finally, actually.
Well, also, to your point, to use the sports metaphor, good luck hiring the next one.
And good luck hiring the next one. Good luck hiring the next one. Let's be honest. I mean, again, I don't know. I can't weigh in on the merits of her as a leader. And most of us can't, actually. We haven't dealt with her behind the scenes. Now, lots of people who have dealt with her showed up at that meeting and are incredibly impressed. Other people already want. I thought the voice of reason. Well, first of all, the community members were, along with a passion, actually made a lot of good points. They said what you said. They said, good luck hiring the next one. They said, we don't want the state to take over the school system. Look at this. Look what we're doing tonight. Like, this is like an invitation to have the state take over the school system. They said, how can you, without any data, how can you possibly fire someone after 8 months? They said, you're accusing her of failure to communicate and lack of transparency and whatever else. And yet you yourself just dropped this on the community on a Monday, right before Christmas, special meeting. Where's the transparency and openness around? Like, they made good point after good point after good point after good point, I thought. And Michelle McKissick, who was the board member most vocal board member who was saying, this is crazy, people, made all those points as well. And then ultimately, it was wild, though, because the board members made the mistake, at least two of them, of literally talking directly to the screaming crowd, right? The crowd is yelling at them. They are yelling back. At one point, we literally had the shut up, no, you shut up, right? We had that. And finally, Fagan said that she had would like a chance to respond to the accusations in writing. And in a stunning last-minute switch, the board chair, who was seen as one of the five who want to get rid of her, voted in favor of that course. And so this is pushed to January. I will be stunned if she is not ousted in January. This was a postponement. Now, things will happen. However big the crowd was last night, it will get bigger. And more people will write their board members. And it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. But it was a discouraging night just because it was so badly done. It was so, like, if you do decide that you need to do something like this, right, there are ways to do it well. There are ways to make this jarring change well. It'd be an F up no matter what. They just hired her. It's like, it's literally hiring a coach and then, yeah, it's what Mark Davis is going to have to do now, right?
Just hire the coach. You can do it well, though. Like, let's give Mississippi State credit when they got rid of Zach Arnett. 100%. You know what I mean? Like,
you can do it well. And this was not done well.
Yeah.
This is not being done well. It is only inflaming the community. And at a time when, if you look around, we're going to talk to Sam about changes in the model in modern leadership, which has been a total disaster. I believe you're familiar with the clerk, Jeffrey, the county clerk, and how that's going. Right?
Yes, I'm familiar with her work.
The police chief is still on an interim basis, and the police department has been the subject of a scathing report from the Justice Department. School board is in the situation that it is in now. Feels like MNGUW doing pretty well.
Yeah. I give credit where credit's due. And also, they tried to oust Doug, and that was...
It was wild. It was wild. You can read my piece over at the Daily Memphian and Laura's and Jody's wild night. And a significant night, because let's be... In the end, this is a massive, massive expenditure. It's where your tax money is going. And... It's the future of Memphis, right? I mean, schools are absolutely critical. And having functional, effective schools that have to deal with all the problems that are caused by poverty and all the challenges of this area, to have schools that can work on behalf of the kids is critical. And so this was a debacle. This was a debacle last night. So the other... thing that happened last night, Jeffrey, I got it. I actually went, my phone battery was running out. So I went and wrote my column in the car and I'm listening to Wolo. And then when I finally filed the column, Memphis was up by 12.
All right.
And I caught up with all that had happened before Most of it was good. Most of it was like really good. Get off to the 16-17 lead. They go up 35-17. Like things are cooking, right? And then in the second half, Garrett Green turns into Josh Allen and
Johnny Football.
Johnny Football, I think that's better. Yeah. And
A&M Johnny Football.
And is absolutely unstoppable. And all of a sudden this game, and by the way, credit to West Virginia, because we talked yesterday. In the end, you pick the team that you think is going to care more. And some of the thinking is that if you take the team that is going to care less and you smack them in the face, right, hit them hard right when they come out, they're going to fold. They're going to head on in the off season, the portal, wherever they're going, and they're going to quit. No, not the Mountaineers.
Nope.
No siree. The Mountaineers did not quit. They come storming back, and then we have this moment, Jeffrey. Memphis is up 5, 42-37. Fourth and 2. 3? 2. Fourth.
I think officially it was 3.
Fourth and, I'll be honest, I was listening to Wola. So it was 4th and 3.
I'm double checking right now for you. Fourth and 2 officially.
And there are 3 options. You could kick the field goal, try to kick the field goal, 50-yarder. Your kickers have been disastrous all year long. That would put you up by 8, though, which would mean you couldn't lose in regulation. Right?
Yep. And you would get outside the number for most people.
Second, you could punt. You could punt. Try to pin them deep. And
I don't even really think that's an option.
Trust your defense.
Because likely, let's say you punt. The overwhelming majority, the overwhelming likelihood is the ball's going into the end zone.
I'm just telling you I'm telling you the 3 options.
There's really 2.
They're technically options. And then the 3rd option is you could go for it. You got a senior quarterback who's been terrific, was ultimately named the player of the game.
He's the model embodiment of your program.
He is the embodiment of your program. Who do you trust? The kicker or Seth Hennigan, the 4-year guy, the living, breathing embodiment of the program? Ryan Sifflefield picked the kicker. I, for the life of me, will never understand that decision. And the kick missed. And then, of course, West Virginia drives, completes 2 passes immediately. And then Johnny Football, Garrett Green, throws the pick. Elijah Herring, linebacker, picks it off down the middle. And then, no, he does not go down. No, sir, he does not go down.
He saw grass.
He saw green grass ahead of him. And ultimately, as he is finally deciding to go down, sliding, the ball is punched out of his hands and recovered by West Virginia, who then would have had a couple shots.
They would have 11 seconds.
11 seconds.
So presumably
at least
one
2.
Big throw. Yeah. But probably
two
plays.
Certainly 2 plays, yeah. I think, to try to win the game. It was ultimately decided that he was going down before the ball was...
Giving himself up.
When you start to slide. And I've never seen that.
So
have you seen that?
I haven't seen it a ton in college. Eli, 1 year, was playing the Cardinals, and it was the same thing. Like, Eli broke into the open field and didn't know what to do, and then he just kind of, like, went down, and, like, as he was going down, the ball was ripped out, and they'd ruled he was giving himself up, therefore he's down. The play's over.
Well, that's what happened. And so that was that. Memphis wins, Memphis wins, Memphis wins. Over at the Daily Memphian, Frank Bonner quotes Ryan Sifflefield. Analytics said we should have gone for it on that 4th and 3. And you get the first down, you win the football game. Believe me, I thought about it, right? But also, this guy, he's pointing to Chandler Martin here, who had 17 tackles. This was incredibly awesome, productive self that he is. This guy would have said, man, kick the field goal. Let's go play defense. We got you no matter what. And sure enough, they did. First of all, if this guy was going to say that, let's go play defense, then you would have actually punted. Because you would have rather played defense, at least tried to.
Made him play.
If that was the argument, we want to put it in the hands of the defense, then the decision would have been the decision that you don't think is a decision or an option, which would have been to punt. If that was the thinking, let's go play defense. What's incredible here is he actually admits right up front the analytics said, go for it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and analytics don't take into account
game flow,
and they don't take into account personnel.
Yes.
They don't take into account
it's the strict numbers.
It's just the numbers. On 4th and 3 from this spot in this situation, you do this. When you then add in that your quarterback is awesome and your kicker is not, that actually makes it more overwhelming to go for it.
And even if you don't even want to make it like this player versus this player, What do you trust more, your kicking unit or your offense?
It's just kind of amazing. I will never understand it. But they won. And they won 11 games on the season. 11-2. And it was interesting because this is when John was going bananas on Twitter. And or X, on Twitter or X. And he said, and I quote, we'll have John here in a minute, this game is a perfect summation of this Memphis football era. The Tigers are going to win their 11th game, and who's honestly going to feel good about it after the end of that game? Well, I disagree with that. I disagree with that.
Players certainly felt good.
I disagree with that. I do think it is a summation of the Tigers' season. They've won 11 games, and there are still people who focus on what went wrong rather than what went right.
Well, and even like in a microcosm, how many times have we watched that game this year?
Yeah, here's the point, though. In the end, they played 13 games this year. I'm the first to say that it was disappointing, not just this year, honestly, that they didn't go to the... Because I'm actually less obsessed with the fact that they didn't go to the conference championship game this year, that they've never gone to a conference championship game. That is an indictment. It just is. That is an indictment. But you can lose a football game that you're not supposed to lose. Georgia did, Ole Miss did, Alabama did. People lose football games, and this team... You know, lost to UTSA again. But they won. In the end, if you are a Memphis fan, they lined up 13 times. 11 times you're happy. I do understand the macro disappointment, but I don't understand why you wouldn't be happy after that game. If, for example, this was the Super Bowl last night, and the Bills were in it, and that happened, and they win the Super Bowl, would I have been pissed off because there was one stupid play call in the middle of it that nearly cost them the game? No! I'd say, woohoo! We won! That's what matters! And then, yes, I would have said, man, we got to head to survive McDermott there, right?
Yep.
A little bit of a brain cramp there by McDermott, but it wouldn't have ruined my enjoyment in the game. That seems crazy to me.
David Lipson writes in that the kicker's from Buffalo, too, by the way.
That's why I haven't named him. I'm trying to
protect yourself, too.
And by the way, here's the thing. There's no shame in missing a 50-yard kick.
No,
this isn't even Scott Norwooding.
That's the thing.
There's no shame.
He actually hit a pretty good kick.
That's a pretty good kick.
Like, what, usually when I was like, oh, here comes a low hook. This could have no chance. Like,
it's like, you're not supposed to hit a kick 50-yarder. That's the damnedest thing about the call. But I don't understand not being happy about it. Why wouldn't you be happy about it? It's 11 wins. They're going to be in the top 25. And... they've now beaten three straight Power Four opponents between Iowa State, Florida State.
Yeah.
Why the hell? What's not to be happy about? I do think it was a stupid call, but it didn't ruin my joy for the accomplishments of that of the players and the football team.
Antonio should have gotten down, too, when he broke the run.
That's true, too. That's true, too.
Should have gotten down.
So, I don't know. Now, it, of course, here's the other truth. Is that, you know, I hear people, some say, some people just won't let it go. Well, no matter what happens, they'll pick on Ryan. And I guess I would ask, why do you think that is? Is it just in the abstract, they woke up and decided they don't like the name Ryan? It's not, when Ryan was hired, everyone, there's no some people. It's Ryan's record that has created this ambivalence, right? It's the way that Ryan has... not delivered on the biggest stage, not delivered even a conference championship appearance, and not very effectively promoted the program, let's be honest. Those are the things that have created the ambivalence, which is why you get this no matter what happens back and forth. It's not people just didn't wake up in the abstract and say, spin a dial, am I going to like Ryan or not like Ryan? Everyone loved Ryan.
Right. Nobody flipped
a
coin.
He got the job acclamation because there was... not the same show of support that was for Murray Fagans last night, but similar. That's why he got the job. So he turned it against him. To the extent that there are people out there who want to focus on the negative, they weren't like that once. Things happened that created that. It's why we are where we are. But I do believe that if you can't be happy about the result last night. I'm not saying happy about they haven't been to a conference championship game. I'm saying happy about the result last night. You're missing it. Your thoughts, Jeffrey?
Yeah, I agree with you on that. It's like, if you can't be happy about a win, like, what do you watch?
What's the point? It's 13 times, and you walked out of there 11 times smiling. That's good.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would also point out, though, because since we keep talking about the number of wins, like, they were favored in 11 games. They won 11 games. Like, I think a big part of this...
I really don't talk about the number of wins. Yeah. You'll notice that.
No.
The number of wins is not particularly persuasive to me. Right, yeah.
The antecedent of you is...
The word antecedent appears on the Jeff Cockney show.
I think it's so... It's a lot of things. Number one, I think inherently there's a
frustration. Let me ask you this. Did Ole Miss win all the games they were supposed to win?
They did not, and that's why they're not in the playoff.
Right.
And
it's what happens. It happens. Did Alabama win all the games they're supposed to win? No.
He's kind of in a similar spot as Ryan Day is, like on a smaller level, where it felt like he was given the job, and you like in the end, what's more likely? People decided to be out on Ryan Silverfield one day, just woke up, decided to be out on Ryan Silverfield, or you're following the only person that has won an outright conference championship, went to the Cotton Bowl, New Year's Six, like has the game day, the SMU game, like all of that.
And for Ryan Day, it's beat Michigan. For Ryan, it's
get to a conference championship.
I'll say this, though. If he gets to a conference championship game, then the goalposts will move. Like, then it will be win a conference championship, and appropriately.
Yeah, because you're always...
You should be the best team in this conference.
Well, and that's the
one of them.
I think, the other problem with the... When you keep using wins as a standard, you not being you. Memphis has never been in this position, relatively speaking, which is they are the best job in their conference. They've never had that reality. Like, even when Mike wins the league, they weren't the best job in the league. UCF was a better
job. Those guys were beating Houston, UCF, and Cincinnati.
Correct.
Very different.
Hanging on to beat, you know.
How do you feel about Matthew Sluka visiting on Friday? The UNLV quarterback who walked out in an NIL dispute is visiting Memphis, according to On3, Friday. Ryan is back, by the way. He said on the radio show he's back meeting with recruits at lunch today. Like, that's a hard job. That's a hard job. Doesn't get to just kick back.
That's what the money's for.
It is what the money's for.
If you're going to do that, I think you're going to be running a very different style of offense. I mean, to me, like, Sluka's kind of like a more like modern triple option guy. Like, I don't want Matthew Sluka running Seth Hennigan's offense. He can be effective, but like, I'm not wild about that idea.
So it's interesting. You went right to the style of play. You don't care about the he's a quitter.
At all.
Me either. I don't know that he's a quitter either. Maybe someone didn't live up to their obligations and promises. All right, we'll talk to John about all this. Chris Harrington, straight up at 10 o'clock. Then Sam Hardiman. It's a busy day here on the Jeff Calkins Show. Frame Court is where to go if you need something custom framed. And by that, I mean maybe you have something special. A collection of arrowheads was one of our listeners from Jonesboro. He needed that framed. My former boss here, it was fishing lures and photos of fish that he needed beautifully framed. But maybe it's a collection of wedding photos, maybe it's sports memorabilia, whatever it is. You sort of wonder, who does this anyway? The Frame Corner does it, and they do it superbly. 5035 Park Avenue, the Frame Corner Memphis, framecornermemphis.com. You can walk in and buy a frame, too, which is a handy thing. Nice little gift to add under the tree for this season. They have beautiful frames you can walk in and buy. But if you want to make something really special, have it last forever, you're really framing a memory. Head on into the Frame Corner, framecornermemphis.com, 5035 Park Avenue. Back in a moment, 92.9 FM ESPN.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Joined now by John Martin, Jason John, every single day from 11 until 2. John, did you watch any of that school board thing last night?
Yeah, I watched, probably about 30 minutes or so. I've definitely tuned in.
And your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I was definitely moved by the people that came up and spoke, that was definitely good to see. I'm so limited in what I know about the
that's
situation.
That's the problem. A lot of us are. Even the people who don't really know.
I kind of get the gist of it. Like, they must just not like her on a personal level, and they're trying to, be petty and take her out. But, past that, I don't know about any of the other stuff.
It certainly feels like, and I don't know how real the allegations are, it doesn't feel like they would rise to firing her for cause. I'll predict that if she doesn't get the full, if she's terminated, and I predict she will be, if she doesn't get the full $500,000 in her that she would be owed, that she would get most of it in various negotiations. All right, John. So Memphis football, you were as mystified as I was, maybe more so, by the call, the decision to try to kick the field goal instead of go for it on 4th and 2 and seal up the win. But then you tweeted, this game is such a perfect summation of this Memphis football era. The Tigers are going to win their 11th game, and who's honestly going to feel good about it after the end of that game? You then also said, either way, Seth Hennigan going out on a win, wish he could have had the chance to seal it. But, like, I do disagree. I agree that it was a stupid call, but I feel good about them after that game. They won. Like, isn't that the point? You really, like, that ruined the whole game for you if you were a Memphis fan? The fact that it wasn't perfectly executed? Yeah, there was a dumb decision in it?
Yeah, I mean, there were lots of dumb decisions by Silverfield in that game. He cost his team 3 points at the end of the first half. For some reason, he called a timeout with a minute left with the ball inside the West Virginia red zone. Not West Virginia. West Virginia didn't use that timeout. Memphis did. They ran a play on first down, picked up 4 yards inside the West Virginia red zone, and egregiously called a timeout for reasons that are completely beyond my comprehension. Memphis scored on the next play, gave West Virginia 3 timeouts and a full minute to go down the field.
How about this? You play to win the game.
I don't understand what that means.
What it means is they line up to try to win the game, and 13 times they played and 11 times they won. And so, that's not ideal. But the point is, including last night, they lined up and they won the game. If the Bills won a Super Bowl in that fashion last night, I wouldn't give a flip that it was a...
Yeah, right, but that was not a Super Bowl. I mean, that was the Frisco Bowl, and it was against a team with no head coach, with a ton of opt-outs. Like, you realize, like, their best players actually sat in the middle of the game, right?
Yeah, yes.
And they were losing their defense. The best linebacker, Trotter's just they were not marshaled here, though. They were not like they had their starting quarterback. You know,
it wasn't that bad. But I mean, like, that was a 6-6 football team.
Why do you need to discount everything they do?
First of all, why do you feel the need to overemphasize everything they do?
I don't actually, because I say, which I think is the right answer. It's disappointing, and it's a failure that in 5 years they haven't gone to the conference championship game. Not disappointing. That's a failure.
Right.
It's disappointing that they didn't go this year. But in that context, still pretty nice.
It's a failure that they didn't.
Still pretty nice to go to. No, I think the failure is they haven't done it in 5 years. I think in any 1 year to lose a football game, like I said before, I think it was a good season. Do you think this was a good season?
Well, they lost two games.
Do you think this is a good season?
I think it's a. I think contextually,
is it a good season? Was it a good season? Yes, it's a good season. It's also a disappointing season. You asked me on my. I'm sorry, I'm interrupting. Go
ahead. It was the most anticipated football season in the history.
It wasn't. That was a lie. And I said it was a lie at the time. There was more of an opportunity. This was his time to get to the conference championship, and he didn't. And that's why people are mad, right? And I similarly accept that. But this season itself, good season. They won 11 of 13. That's a good season. You know who else had a good season? Ole Miss had a good season.
Who did they play?
Yeah, you know what? Everyone loses games you're not supposed to. Memphis basketball just did. Ole Miss did. Alabama did. Everybody. Georgia did. What? Everybody loses games you're not supposed to. What? You're breaking up. He's breaking up. This is starting to feel like last night's school board meeting, and we can't hear him.
When Penny lost games he wasn't supposed to.
Yeah. I didn't hear the first part because you're breaking up. Did we rip him? Yes. But Penny didn't actually have – did we lose? Yes. No. Yes and no. If he lost games he didn't supposed to in the context of a season that was a fundamentally good season, at the end we said it was a fundamentally good season. If he lost games he wasn't supposed to last year in a disastrous season, even then you were never – even then he wasn't ripped like Ryan. No one's – you guys have had discussions about firing Ryan. You've never had discussions about firing Penny, ever.
First of all, we have had discussions on the show about changes with Memphis basketball, and if they get to that point, first and foremost, you don't need me to explain the very obvious and fundamental differences between Ryan Thorfield and Penny Hardaway.
Right. I have not endorsed firing either of them.
I have not advocated for making a change either. What I'm not going to do is sit up here and act like this was some, a season filled with such unforgettable moments.
No one said that either. Yeah. I'm asking, why isn't nuance okay? Because, like Ryan says Ryan does the same thing. He says, people want me to apologize. No one wants him to apologize. He said last night, people want me to go into the locker room and say we're a bunch of losers. No one wants that. Don't talk in extremes. Here's what people want you to do. People want you to say, you know what, this is a good year. And I want you to say the same thing, John. This is a good year. Taken in isolation, if this were all that were, you'd say this was a really pretty good year. It's not in isolation. And in context, the 5 years have been disappointing. And we would expect better, nice to win last night. 11 is better than 10. Nice to win. Nice to be in the top 25. Nice to win another bowl game. Nice to. Why can't you both acknowledge the disappointment on the one hand and the triumphs on the other? I just don't see why nuance can't exist in this conversation.
Yeah, I mean, because the only reason you would say it's good just because you have the PTSD.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't depend on that. It's in the abstract. It's good. They're in the top 25. I don't need to say they sucked in 2006 or two to say it's good to be in the top 25. I don't need say it's a good season.
Because to me, the disappointment, right, of not doing what you were supposed to do and pick to do outweighs the number next to your name. It's empty.
What does it mean?
It's not empty.
What does it mean?
I can agree with the first part. It means you're in the top 25. It means that 13 times you played football games, and you won 11 of them.
All right, so is it going to translate to are people flooding the season ticket offices today?
No, again,
right.
If it's
so good, they should. If it's so good,
I didn't say it's so good. I didn't say, this is the difference. I think he's a terrible promoter. I think he's the reason, a big reason attendance is down. I think it is his 5 years has been a disappointment. Of course it has. And indeed, his 5 years, his inability to get to a championship game has been a failure. This year was also a good year. Good year. Not a great year. Not a really good year.
If the definition of good is passable, then
good. Yeah. No, the definition of good is good. You don't need to pay passable. Good is good. It's good year. But we can
the roster was great.
But we can disagree, though. It's okay, John. I still love you. And
We can just disagree
on this one. I'll be listening from 11 to 2, and I'm sure you guys are going to go in on me, dude. It's going to be It's going to be savage. It's going to be savage from 11 to 2. All right, thanks, John. Appreciate it.
All right.
I've gone too long. I got a little heated. And it's weird for me to be defending him cuz here's the truth. I'd be happy if he got a job somewhere else.
I think he would have been too.
And here's the thing. He doesn't. There's a reason for that too.
Well, I definitely think part of the reason he got snippy recently, again, is because he thought he was going to be in the mix for jobs and he really wasn't.
That's the thing. John is right. If it's so great, how come he isn't in demand? Right? How come the Tulane coach has to turn down North Carolina, take his name out of the running, but Ryan doesn't? Because it's not so great. But 11 wins is 11 times you get to turn off the TV and say, that was good, good. That was good. My team won. It's certainly better than the alternative. Whew. All right. We're going to talk to Chris Harrington coming up next. Before then, I will tell you, if you are selling your house, you should call Josh Hysaw. This might seem a strange time to sell your house. But the truth of the matter is, it's interesting because, as I said, I've looked for houses these days because I'd like to buy a smaller house. And you know what happens? I notice whenever a new house comes on the market, like because not that many are coming on the market. So you notice when a new house is coming on the market, like, oh, there's a new one. Let me look at that one. And so it's actually not as odd a time as you think. And then you call Josh Hysaw, and he is such an aggressive marketer. He understands this market so well I don't know. I believe in his ability to get it done. It's 901-461-8147, 901-461-8147. Flexible fees, no upfront cost, let you out of your contract any time. That was always a wake up for me. It was like, wait, any day I decide not enough people are coming to my house or something like that, I just have a fit of irritation. Yes. He'll go to work for you, but if you want to, whatever, you try someone else, you can try someone else. That's how much he believes in what he does. It's Josh Hysaw and the team at Keller Williams Realty. Call him today, 901-461-8147, or joshhasthebuyers.com. Chris Harrington joins us on the other side, and then Sam Hardiman. Busy day on the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.